Okay, we're picking up for the Gemara on the bottom of Pei Beis Amar Beis. The very last words are the words of Amar Rav. So now the Gemara is discussing a stira between the words of Rabbi Yossi and the Mishnah and Rabbi Yossi and the Braisa. Amar Rav, turning on to Pei Gimel Amar Rav now. Leisa l'masnitzin, Rabbi Yossi is halacha in the Mishnah that an andragonus who is a Kohen would enable his wife to eat Truma. So Rav understood like Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yossi holds that Truma nowadays is din d'oraisa. And therefore, he's understanding that Mishnah Rabbi Yossi is saying an andragonus is allowed to feed his wife full-fledged shuma, and that because andragonus is a full-fledged male. So, Mekami Braisa, but in the fact that the face of the Braisa is seemingly a stira, that the Braisa seems to disagree with that, then it's only a suffix whether andragonus is a male or female, but das Rabbi Yossi. As the Braisa states, the standard we learn in the Braisa, Rabbi Yossi Omer, andragonus biria b'fnei atzmehu, it's clear in the Braisa that the andragonus is a suffix. We don't know. We couldn't discern whether it is a male or a female. So we see clearly that there's a problem over here with the Mishnah's ruling, because the Mishnah seems to be mistaken. At least the Mishnah seems to be incorrect based in the face of the Braisa. So the Gemara says, well, why would you say that? Adrab, Leisa the Braisa, become a Mishnah and say that the Braisa is incorrect in the face of the ruling of the Mishnah. At the end of the day, the Mishnah Lechura was edited by Rabbi Yehuda. Now, see, is more authentic than a Braisa. We know that many times we can ask that a Mora wasn't aware of a Braisa because they weren't as authentic. We didn't know all the Mesoros followed them, but a Mishnayos that were clear in front of us. So maybe assume that the Mishnah should be right and not the Braisa. So the Gemara says, the Shavkir Rabbi Yossi the Barzuge, because the Braisa seemingly is not totally off, because it only quotes Rabbi Yossi and doesn't quote Rabbi Shimon. Shimon and Ahadar Beis, the Lechor, we're giving a raya that Rabbi Yossi, in fact, was Chozerbo. Because our Mishnah, in presenting Machlokas, that the Ashes Adriganus, who's a Kohen, the guy is a Kohen, and this woman marries him, Zladi Truma, that was the Shita of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah. The Braisa only presented as Rabbi Yossi without Rabbi Shimon whatsoever. Now, if the Braisa is Lechora arguing with our Mishnah, understands that the Mishnah's statement is just wrong, what Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon held, then they should say that in the Braisa, they should also mention both the Shita of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. And if the Braisa disagrees with the Mishnah and only with regards to Rabbi Yossi, so it should mention that Rabbi Shimon Taka argues in that Braisa with Rabbi Yossi. Neither of those things does the Braisa do. So that Lechora is not the case over here. So Rav would have agreed if either of those two things are true, if that either of the two things we just mentioned would have happened, then he would agree that the Mishnah's version is going to be more correct than the Braisa. Since the Braisa, Lechora, mentions Rabbi Yossi Shita without mentioning the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, Lechora we can learn from here that the Braisa agrees with the Mishnah's version of what Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon said, and the Braisa, which was authored later, the Tosefta's and the Braisa's, which are authored after, we can assume it was saying that Rabbi Yossi was Chozerbo, that with Lechora that he said he was Chozerbo, and therefore we can understand that Rabbi Yossi was Chozer, and since the Mishnah again was done before this Tosefta, this Braisa, we can assume that Rabbi Yossi in the Braisa was his later opinion, and his original opinion was what was stated in the Mishnah, and he was Chozerbo afterwards. So says the Gemara, Ushmuel, Amar Nashmuel disagrees with that. He says, Leisa LeBraisa Mekami Masnitzin. Rabbi Yossi's ruling in the Braisa has no standing in the face of the fact that the ruling in the Mishnah contradicts it. He goes with the original Svara, that the rulings of the Mishnah are more correct, and therefore Mishnahs are, when you have a Mishnah, Braisa, in conflict, we go with the Mishnah because it's considered more authentic, it's a more authentic version. So says the Gemara, Adarabba, though, why don't, the same question we asked before, Leisa Mekami Braisa, Da'a, Shamina LeShmuel, Da'chayesh Lechida. So the Gemara says, well, why don't we assume that the Braisa should go in the, be like the, why don't we assume that that our Mishnah isn't standing in the face of the Braisa? So the Gemara says, no, because the Hashemina, and the Gemara strengthens that, for the fact that we see that Shmuel in other circumstances, in Megillah, in other places, Shmuel is choshish for the Shitas Yachid when it is more machmir than the other Shitas. So here also, it should be more machmir, and should say that an andragonus is only a suffig male, and therefore be more machmir to not allow him to have Truma. So says the Gemara, Ani Mile ki lo misikra mesnisin. When Shmuel's choshesh is only when the Mishnah is not uprooted by a more machmer shita. Here, ki misakra mesnisin lochayesh. We are uprooting the halacha of the shita of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says beferish that Rabbi Yossi says that she's allowed to eat truma. Now you're telling me that you're not allowed to. That's a direct confrontation with the Mishnah. In that case, Shmuel would not rule against the Mishnah. So that's what we see from over here. So says the Gemara, Amre be Rav mishmei de Rav. They said in the Beis Medrash of Rav, in the name of Rav, Halach Rabbi Yossi b'Andriganus or Karva, that the halacha follows Rabbi Yossi with regards to the halacha we just said about Andriganus, and also with regards to grafting, which we're going to get into, that Rabbi Yossi's halacha and Andriganus is referring to the Mishnah's version of Rabbi Yossi, that Andriganus is for sure a male 100%, and his wife could eat truma. Rav Huna is quoting Rav, is the Chora disagreeing with the statement that we see before in the name of Rav, that our Mishnah's version of Rabbi Yossi has no standing in light of the Braisa. That's what Rashi understands. He's understanding that Rav Huna refers to Rabbi Yossi's ruling the Mishnah rather than that of the Braisa. That's not so pasha. That's not so pasha at all. Maybe you say the other way around. Why don't we say, like the Rambam Tak argues, the Rambam says, and the Rifts goes like this also, that Rav Huna's statement in the name of Rav doesn't dispute Rav. Why would you assume Rav is a machlokas? And he's saying that Rabbi Yossi's statement that Braisa is more correct, and that's how he's understanding it. That's a big machlokas Rishonim. If you had to understand this version of what it meant by Lach Rabbi Yossi is like the Mishnah of Braisa. It would be two different shitas here. And Shmuel says either way, Amar Bekoshi Vekidish. Also, Lach follows Rabbi Yossi with regards to a woman who's going to, we're going to get into these cases, a woman is bleeding during labor, and with regards to apostling situation. We're going to get into both those cases. Says the Gemara, Andriganus Hadam. In the case of Andriganus we just said, again, Machlokas Rashi and the Rambam, does that mean that it should be like the Mishnah's version and that it's a for sure female, for sure male, and therefore his wife can fully eat Chuma even Daraisa, or is it a Suffolk version of the Braisa? That's a Machlokas Rambam and Rashi, I don't understand that. But either way, that's what the Mishnah, that's what the Gemara says now. And Arkava, what's the case of Arkava? This time based on the Mishnah in Shavias. The Mishnah tells us that Ein Notin Ve'im Marvichin Ve'im Markivin, Erev Shvius Pachos Mishloshim Yom Lifnei Rosh Hashanah. The halacha is, you're not allowed to plant a tree or bend a vine and turn it into the ground in a way which we're going to know that it's going to be growing on the Shemitah year on Erev Shvius Pachos Mishloshim Yom, because it's not going to be taking root 30 days before, and therefore your planting basically is inevitably doing planting on Shemitah itself, kilu, meaning it wasn't actually, you were less, you're Erev Shvius, but still we view it as if, because you know your whole purpose is to be growing on the day of Shvius itself, on the time of Shvius, it doesn't take ground to root, so that would be the chumrah. And if someone did plant a tree, he bent a vine in the ground or grafted during this time period, Yaakov, the halacha is, you have to uproot it. Because the general halacha, someone who plants a tree during Shemitah year, whether he does so b'mezid or even b'shogeg, you are going to be, you're going to have to uproot it. This is a dinder rabbanan. The rabbanan made that, obviously mezid, I understand why they're going to be punish you that you did that you violated Shemitah, but why is it even a case of shogeg? Because the person's going to look and calculate the time based on the Gemara and Gittin. You're going to look and calculate the time that it was root, with the time that it came out. People are going to think that you planted it during Shvius and it was mutter. So therefore, we say that Allah is yakor. Rabbi Yehuda Mer Kolakava Shina Koletes Boshloshi Yamim. Rabbi Yehuda says any graft that does not take hold within 3 days, Shuvin a Koletes will not simply take hold. So meaning he says that it's 3 days. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Allah is that it should be 3 days. So says Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Omer Shtei Shavas. They say it's 2 weeks. According to one who says 30 days of Tanakama, Torah Shloshim Mushalash, that the 30 days or 33 days are required, meaning the 30 days plus the extra time, the extra 3 days of the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Since they 30 degrees for the tree to take root, you have to plant them. The tree, you'd have to plant the tree 60 days before Rosh Hashanah, so that 30 days are necessary for taking root are completed before the 30-day period of Rosh Hashanah. And that's what we're assuming over here. That's what we're learning over here based on the Tosefet Shvius. So that would be the halacha based on this Tana. And the Gemara says the Devarei Omer Shloshim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Tzarech Shlosha Ushloshim, that you need a Neset Tosefet Shvius. You need to include that and an extra month on that also. So the Devarei Omer Shteishavas is, and according to Rabbi Yosef Shimon, they would need Shteishavas Shloshim Yom. You would have to have 2 weeks plus an extra 30 days, an extra month before those 2 weeks. Again, that was all for the Tosefet Shmita. So now the Gemara says Shmuel Amar Bekoshi VeKiddush. So that was Halacha. We're going to follow like that. According to Rav, we should paskin like Rabbi Yossi or Rabbi Shimon in that example as well. So says the Gemara now, Shmuel Amar Bekoshi VeKiddush. Shmuel says Halacha follows Rabbi Yossi with regards to a woman bleeding in labor and regards to what's unfit. What is this? Koshi Tosan. This is the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us in Nida that actually we should give some background, that when a woman has uterine blood, so then the normal case is a Nida where she can see blood for 7 straight days. Al deraisa, this is obviously, I'm talking about the deraisa right now. Mid deraisa, she sees blood for 7 straight days. If on the 7th day, she has a hefsek, at any point she stops bleeding, she could do a hefsek tara, she does a bedika, and that night, after the 7th day is completely over, that night, on the 8th day, 8th night, she is allowed to be with her husband. That is a din deraisa. Now, after that, any blood, let's say she's not clean. So fine, she's not going to be out of her nida state yet. But the next day she sees blood, that already is starting the period. That 11 days is going to be starting the period of the zava period. So in that case, the Zava, the halacha is different. It depends how long she's bleeding for. If it's for one day or 2 days, if she's bleeding for two consecutive days, then she's considered a Zava Ketana. However, if she has blood for three consecutive days, then she's going to be a Zava Gedola, and she has to have Shiva Nekim. That's the difference between Zava Ketana. Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. Let's say she can't get it. She's day eight, she also is bleeding. So she is Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. She cannot that whole day, and the next day she's checked that she's clean, then she go to the mikvah already that day, that next night. However, if she sees again that two straight days, then she's a Zava Gedola, and she has to have another full Shiva Nekim until she sees but at any point during that time, even on day four, day five, then it would be problematic, and she would not be allowed to, her counting would have to restart from the day of seven. However, after a person gives birth, after a woman gives birth, so the halacha is that she's tamei nida for 1 week in the case of a boy, and the eighth day she's tar midareisan. That's the whole Rashi Chumash quote says that she should be with her husband because she's going to have the bris, so you wanted them to be together. That's a very nice idea. Okay, so that's the halacha, and then for the next 33 days, she could see blood, and any blood would be what's called dam tohar. Dam Tohar is that any blood she sees is considered blood that is not make her tame, and she would be allowed to be with her husband at that point. So that is going to be applicable to a case of a mother who was not a Zava prior to having given birth. If she was a Zava Gedola when she gave birth, so then she still requires a Shiva Nekim in order for her to have the case, even in a time or period of Dam Tohar. So even after day seven, she would need a Shiva Nekim at that to make sure that she's no longer a Zava. So the lacha is that if a woman bleeds in her zava, she becomes a zava only when she's bleeding normally. However, if she is bleeding because of the fact that she's having a child, so then, based on the pasuk of the Gemara Nidah, drasha of isha ki yazav zov dama, then that it tells us that she would not be a zava in that circumstance. So if she, a woman goes into labor like 5 days before she became a nida, so then her labor, which was done, which was then accompanied by uterine bleeding, began on the first day of 11 potential days of ziva, and therefore we would assume that she would not become a zava because that was done through the she would not be considered someone who lettuce bezo because the it all came about through the fact that she was already becoming, the labor pains were coming in. So Mishnah is telling us how long a woman's labor pains can last for, to assume that it was based on the childbirth so that she would not be a Zava based on that. So now, okay, now we're ready to start the Mishnah. Let's go back to that again. So the koshi was tzran kama yukushu, how long can a woman's labor pains last that the blood that's coming out of her is not going to be considered damni. There will be meromer o arba o chamisha yom. It could be even 40 or 50 days. That is a long time to be in labor, meaning that as long as his labor pains are not subsiding and they're continuing, if the woman does not become a Zava, so then, the woman would not become a Zava in that circumstance. Now the Gemara relates, Rabbi Huda says, Daya Chadasha, that only for her, she can attribute up to a month. She doesn't more than a month. He understands that the labor she experiences beginning from Rosh Chodesh of the ninth month, the month that she's actually giving birth, is excluded from Ziva. Meaning, therefore, this would be only for a day or two, when she gives birth the second day of the month. In such a case, the blood which she would be coming out of her Rosh Chodesh would not be, could make her Zava, unless she has blood for 3 days prior to the Rosh Chodesh before it. On that case, otherwise we can assume, Rabbi Yehuda's understanding that that would be based on the concept that she would not be a Zava at that point. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Ein Kishui Yoser Mishtei Shabbos, there's no such thing as labor pains for more than 2 weeks. So the Gemara says that was a lacha that we should be paskining. Rabbi Shmuel thought we should paskin like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon in that circumstance as well. What's the case of Kiddush? This done, it literally makes something puzzle. Here we're talking about the Mishnah in Kilayim. The Mishnah in Kilayim tells us if somebody is Mesachik Kefana al Gabe Tvasel Shel Chavero, someone is spreading his vine over the grain of his friends. So I raise a Kiddush, so they're doing that, you have made it Kilayim. So you have made it unfit, and so you've ruined his produce, and so lacha is a Chayab Rechusa. You have to pay all the losses that you've answered on his thing, and therefore you made the financial loss, and you make him pay. Divrei Rav Meir, that is the words of Rav Meir. Rav Yosef Shimon Omrim, this is Rav Yosef Shimon, turning on to the next time now. In Adam Oser Davar Sheino Shalom, a person doesn't have the ability to make this kilayim because it's not your liability, because it's not Oser, because it's of this concept of In Adam Oser Davar Shalom. So Tosas just asked a very fundamental question, which Halacha Maaseh is applicable of his man as well, is that how does this apply? At the end of the day, we know, like, if a person puts, you have a chalent pot, and a guy is a Russia, and he puts in milk all over the chalent. So he doesn't tell you about it, but he does just shtachius, right? So the lacha is, it's fully usher. It's basar b'chalav, this is the right to eat it. How is that any different? Why is the Tosas? Why is that any different than this case? So Tosas make a nukimta, a very interesting svara. Tosas says that something is tali b'machshava, that's when you can't aser somebody else's things. So like, for example, by avodah zarah, if a person's mishtachav to your behema, that would not create an iser. And they say also, they tie into that kalem also is tali b'machshava based on the fact that if the thing about kshagia afalkano, that Tosas has a raya from the Mishnayos and Kalayim, that would be the case, that it's totally on your machshava. So that's a very interesting halacha. It's important to note that, because really we do assume that if a guy can asher things by making the masr, by trafing up your kitchen and things like that, it has to do with things that are totally on machshava, but potentially would be an exception to this rule. So now the Gemara says, Ibaile, we have a question. Vandrigidus Mali Amar Shmuel. What would Shmuel say to me? So meaning Shmuel only told us halacha of Azar Yossi in the case of woman bleeding and the case of Kilai. What would he say about Rosh Halacha in the Mishnah about Andrigonus being a first Vadai male? So it says the Gemara, Tashma, Damar Shmuel Ravanan, Leisa Lebraisa Mekami Masnisin, that the ruling attributed to Yossi in the Braisa has no standing in the face of that of the Mishnah, and therefore the ruling attributed to Yossi in the Braisa that Andrigonus is only a possible male has no standing like the Mishnah, which is definite male. So we see that Shmuel does hold like Yossi in the Mishnah as well, and that's what we see, and that would be the case. So this is just wonders. Who said that that's how he paskins? He's just saying that's Shitas Rabbi Yossi. That's a very good kasha from Tosas. Not this one, the previous one. Tosas asked this kasha. L'chora, Tosas says, because the fact that he tries to explain the Rabbi Yossi, it clearly shows that he was trying to paskin like. That's what Tosas ends up coming saying. Anyway, what about Hakava Mali Mar Shmuel? What would Shmuel say about the lachabak grafting? Would he hold like Rav in that case also? Should follow like Rabbi Yossi? So says the Gemara Tashma, Damar Le Shmuel Rabbanan. Tana Kiman, Damar Shloshim Mishlosh. Teach the lacha with the one who says 33. So, the Shita says 33 was actually Rabbi Yehuda and not Rabbi Yossi, so he does not paskin like Rabbi Yossi in that example. So says the Gemara, says Kushi Mali Amar Rav, with regards to a woman who's bleeding labor, what should be the halacha be there also? Should we paskin? There's different tanaim there as well. So says the Gemara, we're not sure, we don't have a Masorah, what Shmuel would say there. So says the Gemara, Vaiter Kiddush Mali Amar Rav, with regards to the halacha of Kalayim, what would Rav say? What would now we're asking about Rav. So says the Gemara, again, Koshi was also, I remember, right before also, those two cases were Shmuel, so we should pass on like Rabbi Yossi. What we're trying to wonder, would Rav agree to that? So the first one we said we don't know. The second one now, what about rendering unfit with regards to Lach of Kilayim? So says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Tashma, De Amar Ravuna, Amar Rav, in Lach of Rabbi Yossi. So supposedly Lach does not follow Rabbi Yossi. So says the Gemara, why are you relying on that statement of Ravuna, name of Rav, that Rav doesn't rule like Rabbi Yossi? Samacha, I could give you another statement where it seems to imply that Rav would rule like Rabbi Yossi. Amar Rav Adam Rav, Allah like Rabbi Yossi, explicitly, Allah should follow Rabbi Yossi. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi responded, Amar be Rav Manu. So who is the one, who is the Talmud of Rav when they say the name of Rav? That was Ravuna. Ravuna was his Talmud, and Ravuna Amar in Allah. Ravuna says Allah is not, of course, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi, and he is more authoritative, apparently. The Gemara is assuming that we assume that the Rav Huna is more authoritative in understanding what the shitas of Rav were. So that's what we see from here. So as the Gemara, Rav Yudamar Timtum Badriganus is going to be, somebody is going to be considered a sris if they open it up and they found that he is actually has male organs. So says the Gemara, Amar Ravami, my Avid Le Rav Yudal Timtum de Biri. What is he going to do? There was a case. We had this Timtum of Biri, the Osri Avid Kursa Ve'ikara. They literally did this operation. And they opened up his area, and it ended up being that he had male parts, and the only Sheva Bunning, and he had seven children with his wife. So clearly he was not a Sris. A Sris is somebody who can't give birth. So how would Rabbi Yehuda answer this? Rabbi Yehuda Sokavesa Vashita says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Melacha, Chazar Albanav Me'ayinim, that you have to see, investigate to see where they come. He thinks that they're Mamzerim, that his wife had adultery for those seven children. All of them should be suffering Mamzerim according to Rabbi Yehuda. Wow. Says the Gemara, Tanya, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Tumtum lo yachlot, so Tumtum should not do chalitza, Shem Ikar v'nimtza Sris Chama, because if he does, maybe he's going to open up his area and find it to be a Sris Chama. So the Gemara says, Al to call them Ikar, Zacharave, is every Tumtum is tear open a male? So says the Gemara, Hachikamar, Shema Ikar, not that he will, again, Shema Ikar v'nimtza Sris Chama, that if you do this operation, it sounds like if you definitely did the operation, then 100% you're going to find out that he was a male. So says the Gemara, but that's not true. Not every single one you open up is going to be a male. So says the Gemara, Hachikamar, Hachikamar, Shema Yikare Venimsa Nekeva. The Tumtum should not perform Chalitza. Maybe he'll tear open and found to be a female. But I feel an Nimsa Zachar, and even if he's found to be a male, Shema Yimatse Sris Chama. Maybe he'll be a Sris Chama. So says the Gemara, what's an afkamina? Meaning, what's the difference between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda? And that he says the reason that Bryce said the Tumtum is only a possible Sris Chama, and Rabbi Yehuda himself understands that he's a definite Sris Chama. So says the Gemara, because what's the difference? I'm a Rava Lissel Makam Achim. To disqualify the Yavama for Yibum in the case with his other brothers. Meaning, in a case where The guy who died had other brothers who definitely were not tumtums, and the tumtums wanted to do chalitza with the avamas. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, he says tumtum is a definite sris, so his action is no validity whatsoever, as the other yavama would not become possible to other brothers. She could be even taken in yubim. However, according to Rabbi Yosef, Yehuda says it's a suffix. So therefore, in that case, we would assume that maybe taka, this guy is eligible, and therefore, as misafik, obviously would not be allowed to suffix ishzaf, israkaris. We would make you do chalitza and not to do yubim. That would be one afkamina. Or another halacha is that where the person died was survived by no other brothers other than the tumtum. According to Yehuda, the tumtum is a definite sris. You don't even need to do chalitza. You don't need to do chalitza whatever. And according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, no, you definitely should require chalitza where there are no brothers, because maybe taka there was this yavam lashuk iser, and therefore you should not be doing that. Ikimanayos, that would be the nafkamina. Says the Gemara, Vayta Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Amar Rabbi Abba Achur de Rabbi Yehuda Bar Zavdi Amar Rabbi de Marav. Adriganus chayavan alav skila meshtei mekomos. That a person who has bia with an adriganus from either of the side, because even in his female area, because again it's covered, at least it's covered, so maybe there or in the backside, then that would be chayav. A person for mishkav zachor is going to be chayav on that for having the male relations. So says the Gemara, meshive v'kasher based on the brayso of Rabbi Lezer Amar adriganus chayavan alav skila ki zachor. That males are going to be liable to stoning for bia with an adriganus, just like someone who's with a male. B'madrim urim b'zachus shalom, only in his male, meaning the backside. B'nakevus shalom pater, in the front, in his female organ, you're going to be pater. So says the Gemara, Huda Marke Tana, Rav Paskin, like another Tana. Rather, this brace is Tana, Rav Shumay Omer. Andriganus chayav with a skill of Mishnei Mekoma says, Andriganus and chayav from either which way the person has relations with this Andriganus. So says the Gemara, my time at the Rav Simai. What is the reason of Rav Simai? Amarava bar imdure asarbali. So Rav Dume explained to me. Ved zachar lo sishkav mishkavei isha. The pasuk says a male should not have relations with a male in a way of a woman. Is a zachar shesh pashen ishkava. So what is it considered? Like a male who has two sets of relations. Havayom is the Andriganus, that is, why is it mishkavei? Therefore, it's saying both type of having relations with him, that would be andriganus, and both sides would be usher for him to have relations with his andriganus. So it says Rabbi Lezer, Rabbanan is Rabbi Lezer. Usually we refer to Rabbanan when we paskin like this. Before we paskin like Rabbi Lezer, who says one's going to be chayav only having andriganus from the backside. So what would you respond to this? Afagav to isbe shnei mishkavos, even though the pasuk is saying andriganus says their stomach, it's zachar ksev. It says at zachar, only bezachar shalom, meaning only in his backside and not his front, where that would be like the female version of having relations. Is there Rabbanan, what are they going to respond? Rabbi Lezer, what's he going to respond? Zachar great min alehu. Where do we know the issue of a male having an or a male? Me'ves, the lashon ves is inclusive, including this case also. They're saying the vav, the actual ves zachar, is to include a bia through the only through the male section. So it says Gemara, but Isha Shlok Adarkam, now wait a second. We know based on the Gemara Sanhedrin, teaches us that a person is chayav for having bia with an ashes or with any bia that's usher for him, even Shlok Adarkam. Shlok Adarkam is from the other side, not from her backside, not from the front. So that's going to be, we learned that not from Mishkeve Isha. So now the Gemara is bothered by the both Rabbi Simai and the Rabbanan, the Chora, are using Mishkeve Isha for different joshas. They're teaching us that the two are going to be bia with, they're going to be teaching us that the andriganus, according to Rabbi Lezer and the Rabbanan, are going to be some form of a joshua with regards to Mishkeve Isha here. So it says the Gemara, so we're learning out, me Isha. The Pasuk could have just said, et zachar lo tishkav Mishkeve. It didn't have to say Isha. Why is it just Mishkeve? It should not have any type of bia. So the fact that Torah says Mishkevei Isha, that implies, that indicates a woman has two bias with her, and those two bias would be Kedarka and Shelo Kedarka. So it says the Gemara now, Amar Rav Shivzi, Amar Rav Chista, Lo Lakol Amar Belazar Andriganus Zachar Ma'ayu. Not for every halacha did Rabbi Lazar say that Andriganus is a full-fledged male. She'imat Ta'omarkin, because if you say that case, B'mukdashim, the case of somebody who's Makdish, somebody who contradicts an animal that has also similar properties as a human Andriganus, and it's covered, Yikadesh, it could be considered a full-fledged Hekdesh in Rabbi Lazar's halacha. However, in Melamdol Kiddush, we see that Rabbi Lazar says not that way. The term we learn is a Raisa, a Nirba. Somebody coined as Malika on a bird that was nearby, that someone had relations with this bird, or Mukta that was designated for Avodah Zarah, an Evad, or was worshipped as Avodah Zarah, an Esnan, or they used it to pay a Zona, a Mechir, and the exchange in a dog exchange, the Pasuk says you're not allowed to bring that as a Korban, a Tumtum, or that of a Chinja of Adriganus, or that of a Korban of a Chinja of Adriganus, Batamim, Gedanim, Besa, Blia. They would, a person does Malika with that, so since Malika is invalid because it's not valid to be a Korban, they're considered an Avela. And we said, since they're considered an Avela, they're going to be considered something which is invalid for a Korban. Rabbi Lezer, Amar Tumtum Vajrigonus, Imitam Gadam Besa Bliya. The Tumtum Vajrigonus would not possible a person from eating them. And it says that all Tumtum Vajrigonus are not going to be fit for offerings, they are still fit for Korbanos Ha'of. So the Malika would be valid for them. Shaya Rabbi Lazar Omer, Kumakum Shanemar, Zachar Nakeva, where it says male and female, as in the Torah, then Atam Motzi Tumtum Vaganes from Nehem. You can exclude a Tumtum and a Jinganes from among them. The Oaf, in the case where it says it by bird, however, Lunar of Zachar Nakeva, Zachar Nakeva referring to bringing a korban. Specifically, by it says, Gvaikivasim, it says Zachar, and it says Nakeva's many times, that you should bring them as korbanos, that's regarding to animals, however, not to the ofos, not for the birds. So Yatam Motzi Tumtum Vaganes, where it doesn't say that, we see that you don't exclude Tumtum Vaganes from them. So we see that Lazar does not treat Androgynous is a male, with regards to kachim other than ophos. Ophos, he agrees. He says that those are our special halacha, that they would be considered valid. However, everything else they would not be considered valid. So now the Gemara brings another proof. Avraham Nachman of Yitzchak. Avraham Matina, we also learned in the Mishnah that this should be the case. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer says, Hakilayim, an animal that is of Kilayim, a trefa, or trefa of Yotzadopin, is a Yotzadopin, someone born unnaturally, right, to C-section, Tumtum Vadringanus, low Kedushin, now they do not become Kodosh. They do not establish the status of Kedusha Zaguf. Kedusha Zaguf is something which you're allowed to bring directly as a korban. You're only allowed to, only their money is going to be considered a Kedusha Damim, which is their monetary value can be redeemed and be brought as a korban. So, v'lo mekachin, they do not sanctify others. V'amar Shmuel, lo kachin b'tmura. They do not become kadosh through tmura. The halacha tells you that you're not allowed to substitute one animal for another. So, that halacha Shmuel is telling us, that only the not only does Rabbi Lazar said that these five animals are actually only they're only be kedushas damim, but he even says that they do not acquire kedushas they do not acquire tamura. Rabbi Lazar is telling us that the fact that these animals are balmum, an issue over here that they're not going to have this kedusha to say that there's going to be alchav tamura going to apply to them. So it says the Gemara. Now the lo makdashim ba'osat tamura, they do not makdash others when they make a substitution. Shmamina, we see from over here the price also that we do not drink a drinkness as a full fledged male with regards to these alachas also. So says the Gemara. Rabbi Lazar Amar chayavin alav skila kizachar. Rabbi Lazar says that people who are going to be with them are going to have a drinkness be like a male and be chayav skila. Tanya within the Rebbeisa, Amar Rebbe. Rebbe said, Kishalachli Lumo Torah Etzer Rebbe Lazar ben Shemua. When I learned to learn Torah by Rebbe Lazar ben Shemua, Chavru Alav Alai Tamidai, the Tamidav Kitaganolim Shabes Bukia. The students joined forces against me, literally like the roosters of Bais Bukia. Apparently, these roosters of the place were very strong, and they were very strange roosters. So, like, everybody knew them. They didn't let me learn one thing which is said in our Mishnah. Rabbi Lezer Omer, that Rabbi Lezer ben Shemua taught us, Rabbi Lezer says that would be, Rabbi Lezer would say, Andreganus Chayavan Alav Skila Kizachar. That the males are liable for stoning, for having Bia with Andreganus, just like one has Bia with a full fledged male, and that would be what the lacha that they told us over here. Hajjan Alach Arel, Hajjan Alach Arel, Hajjan Alach Arel, and we'll pick up with the Yesh Musaris Labalayan, Vashus Liman, Be'ezras Hashem, in tomorrow's daf.